Okay, very good. So, okay, so I'm not sure, let's see, where we left off last time. So we're doing Reish Beis, and I think, do you remember where we got to, up to? I think we were up to Mishnah Brura, maybe Dalet, Vav, did we just do the, right, we did where, I think we left off, the last thing we did was where the you add these other spices to the wine and it changes the taste. So as long as the taste of the yayin is still there, it's still a bar pir guffin, right? But if it removes the taste of the yayin, then it's no longer bar pir guffin, right? So we said, because if the taste of the, so is the taste changed or not changed, right? I mean, it's changed but not changed, right? Okay, so we're doing, if you want to look inside, yeah, we're doing the Mishnah Brura, Reish Beis. Okay, so last thing we did, okay, was with the, right, you add these things and it changes the taste. So we said there's two types of change, right? There's a change where you enhance a thing and you add additional qualities, so that is still the original object, it's just improved. But you can have a second type of change where you make it into something else. Okay, so that's Shar Tzion says that if the Tama Yain is gone, it means it makes it into something totally new, like a punch. Okay, so then you can't say that it's still Yain, that there's still Barpi Guffin. But as long as it has the taste of Yain, even if it's changed, the change could be an improvement. Okay, so then it's still Barpi Guffin. Alrighty? Okay, Reish Beis. So it's...
Yeah?
Okay. So actually it's page 209.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay, so then, so he says like this. He says, what is the case where you add the spices? He says, if you'd add Devashu Papalin, honey and pepper. Okay? So Mishnah Brura says like this: Afilu shlish dvash v'shlish papalin. Even a third honey and a third pepper. V'yosem izeh. Even more than that. Afilu hachi hayayin ikker. Nevertheless, the yayin is ikker. Why shehem lo bo rak lahashpicho lahatimo. I think we may have done this last time, right? So in other words, even though the yayin is a miyut, right? Quantitatively, it's a miyut, but nevertheless, is still considered barat per guffin. Okay, even though normally you say, if you have the, what's the expression, ikker and tuffel, right? If the rove is the ikker, whatever rove is the ikker, and then miyot is the tuffel, right? And the rove is mevatel the miyot. But over here you don't say that. Okay? So over here you don't view the thing quantitatively. Okay? You don't view the mixture quantitatively. Because the yain really is a miyut, quantitatively. But how do you view the mixture?
It's still yain.
It's still yain, right. So the yain, even though quantitatively, it's lacking quantitatively, but qualitatively. Okay, so you look at the mixture qualitatively. As long as qualitatively, the tom of the yain is the ikker, then you consider the yayin the ikker. Okay? So
it has to do with the tom?
Tom. That's right. Apparently,
Tom
is the, apparently the tom is the determinant. That is the determining factor in the yayin. Because you see where the substance is lacking, where the substance is a miyut, right? So normally you'd say where the substance is a miyut, you would say, then it's not considered yayin anymore. Okay? But even though the substance is a miyut, since the tom is there, you consider the tom as a qualitative rove. Okay? It's considered like a qualitative rove or a qualitative ikker. Okay? Even though it's a quantitative miyut, but it's a qualitative ikker. Okay? So that's what the, so that's the Shulchan Aruch. All right? Okay.
Do I get a...
What's that? Sure. Okay. Okay, so that's the halacha of these spices. Okay, since they're an enhancer, they're not considered qualitatively anything. Okay. So now he says like this. But the Ramah says, in this arev yayin b'shechar, but let's say you have a mixture where you have wine and beer. So then that's a totally different story. There the Ramah says, azlinan bas acharov. There you go, you follow, you assess it based on quantity. Okay? That's a different story. Then you go acharov. Okay, if the robe is yayin, it's a bar pigafen. If the robe is shechar, it's shako. So there it's strictly a quantitative measurement. Okay? He says like this. Okay, so why is that? Why, when it comes to shechar and yayin, do you all of a sudden go basar rov, but not in the previous case with the spices? Yeah.
I think we were saying last week that, like what you're saying, that qualitatively it's going to be, we're going to see it rove as the qualitative amount of, if the quality is still wine with things added to it, like these spices or whatever they are, honey, then it's going to be like a spiced wine, then it's still going to be wine. But we're saying over here, we're not adding spices anymore, we're adding like something that is not necessarily equivalent in chashivness, but like something that is also a ikker type of, a qualitative type of thing. So whatever you have rove of, that's what the thing's going to be.
That's right. In other words, over here, where you have yayin and shechar, there you have two distinct entities. When you have two separate and distinct entities, so then you don't say one is an enhancer of the other. If you could say that the shechar is simply an enhancer of the yayin, so then it would work. Then you could disregard the quantity. Okay, but the shechar is not an enhancer. It is its own distinct entity. So if you have two separate and distinct entities, then you can no longer utilize the idea of an enhancer. Then you have to treat them as quantitative objects. So whichever quantity prevails, that will be the ikker. Okay? Alright, so it's a logical setup.
Where are we in the text?
What's that? We're right in the Ramah.
Wouldn't that dilute the Tom though?
What's that?
Wouldn't that dilute the Tom though? If there was just way more spices and
Well, that's the question. You see, that's what the Shaar Tzion says, that if there's enough spices that that you can no longer taste the tom of the yayin, see, then the yayin's batal, because then the essence of the yayin is gone. The identity of the yayin depends on its tom.
Is there some objective standard amount to that, or it's
there's no objective amount, because that's why he says the quantity is not the factor, because he says even if it's less than a third yayin, it doesn't matter, it goes by your taste. If you could taste the yayin, then you could say this is an enhanced yayin.
It's on the individual then to make that determination.
That's right. It would be based on the person. That's exactly right. Now, how do you know what bracha to make before you taste it? That's a good question.
Right.
I don't know. Okay? But those are the factors. Okay, how you employ it practically, it's a good question. I guess, in a practical sense, what you could do is, you could drink wine, make a bar pigafen, and you could make a shako on something else, and then you could drink this thing. And then you'd see what it is with those proportions. You could see if the taste is there. So then you know for next time. Right? But I think practically that would be the only way of resolving the issue. Mm. Right? To drink it at a time when you're already covered, when you don't require a bracha.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, but to take this as a first drink would be a problem. You don't know. You have no way of knowing. Okay, but that is the criteria you're looking for. If you could taste the taste of the wine.
Yeah. This is like a little off topic.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, it's been so far.
It's similar.
Well, you know, how about I answer that question after I get it?
I was just the leopard.
Yeah, right.
Now, in terms of like brachos, like, is it like philosophically not a good thing to like make a shahakol and like be covered? Like, let's say you have like something you don't know exactly what it is, so you make a shahakol. Be like, is that like?
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to, really. I mean, the shakal is supposed to be if it's something that can't be determined, really. It's an inherent suffix. But you shouldn't really use it out of ignorance.
Out of ignorance, right.
You're not supposed to do that. I mean, if you do, you yotze.
Right.
But l'chachila, that's not, you're not supposed to do that. Because it's not really, what you're doing is you're reducing the shavach.
Reducing the shavach.
Since you don't want to take the time to find out what the proper bracha is, so you're reducing the shavach.
So it's really
lacking. It's definitely lacking.
Huh.
Yeah.
Should you like not? Let's say you don't know. Should you like hold yourself back from something because you don't know it? Is that like a real like?
I mean, the question is: Are you more? Is it more painful to look it up or to abstain from eating it? Right. I mean, it's going to come down to that, right? How bad do you want it? If you want it bad enough, so you look it up. If,
right.
I guess, I mean, you know.
Huh.
I mean, I don't know.
I guess nowadays, you know, it's like you could just do that. You just,
I mean, I guess if you really can't, I mean, I don't know the, you know, let's say a person just can't, is in a position where he has no way of determining it.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, it's quite possible. I mean, I don't know halacha, but I mean, it's quite possible that wouldn't come under that issue. If it's, you can't find it out, there's no way to find it out. You know, you're in a situation where you have nobody to ask and you have no sources, resources to look it up. So that's quite possible. You could resort to charcoal. I mean, I'd have to actually look that up, but it's quite possible that wouldn't be considered. You know, that would be b'di'evit. That would be b'di'evit. Right. I mean, there's no way to find out, and you're hungry, so. I mean, I would say, you know, just on the surface, without really looking into it, I would say that sounds like b'di'evit.
Right. They're saying like,
but l'chatchila, just for a guy to say, well, you know, it's, you know, and I just, you know, too hard to look it up, I'll make a shakal, I think that's improper. Yeah, I think it's improper. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, right. Okay, so that's the factor. The identity of the thing, of the yayin, definitely depends on the tom. And the tom is, if you have spices that are enhancing it, then as long as the tom is there. But if you have two different distinct entities, then it's not a question of tom. One's not enhancing the other. Then it's a question is which one quantitatively prevails. Whichever one is the majority, that's the bracha. That's considered the ikkar.
Is this idea just by wine, or it's by other substances?
Seems it's general. It's general. Okay, there is exceptions, like by mizonos, but as a general rule, if you have two distinct things, you go by the rove.
Well, because wine does have like a like special quality, like it's like yain yismafli.
That's right. Yeah, well, that's we went into the last week, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that it's yismach and it's soilev. So it does have exceptional qualities. Okay, but nevertheless, it doesn't matter because
in terms of this, it does not matter
because in terms of this, you say if it's two distinct objects and you just go by the rove, okay. So that's the case of Shecher and Yayin, okay. Okay, but then he says an interesting thing. There's actually, well, you know what? Let's skip down. I'd like to come back to it, but there's a very interesting point here, okay. If you skip to Yud, Mishbur Yud, okay? So he has 2 points. He says like this. He starts out like this. He says, Im HaRov Sheikhar. Okay? Because we may need the other stuff. Let's just go straight, okay? He says like this. So, B'Sheikhar, okay, Zion, right? So if he says the he's quoting, it says v'im nesar v'yayin b'sheichar. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah says v'sheichar shel kol haminim shavim bazeh. Okay, any type of beer is equal with this regard, meaning you follow the formula of kol shu ikar, kol shu rov huwa ikar. Okay, levad mimine mashkin shepogman, except for a type of wine that would that would ruin umafsid tamayayin. In other words, if you have a type of beer that would actually destroy the taste of the wine, like ruin it, like it's a conflicting taste, and it actually gives the wine a bad taste, okay, then the halacha is miyad shenisarv b'hem, then it doesn't matter about the quantity. This, any amount you put in there, if it ruins the taste, kol kach ad shenifsa tamayayin mevar shakol. So then you don't go by the quantity. Then any whatever amount would ruin the taste of the wine, that's it. Okay? Because we said the taste is really the determinant of yayin. So the moment the taste is gone, that's it. The yayin is gone. The bracha is gone. Okay? So in that case, any amount of beer, if it would ruin the taste, that's it. Okay? Then he says like this. He says, im harov yayin. Okay, and here's where he brings the rule. He says, "Kedekaimelam kol shehu iker, the imot feila mevarch alo iker." Okay, so if you have two things, you always mevarch on the iker. Upolter as a feila. Okay, v'chom min shehu harov hu iker. And if you have two separate minim, they do not enhance each other. Then the rov is iker. V'amir tafel too low, and the mir is the tafel. Okay. So if the rov is yain, you make a bar pigafen. Now he says, Mavarch bar begafen, in test, Mishnah Berurah says, Vahu shalonis batel tam hayayin al yedei hatayrubas. Okay? And here again, it looks like he's really just repeating the same point. He says, that you make bar begafen, provided that the sheikher is not nisbatel, doesn't nullify the taste of the yayin. Okay? But it sounds pretty close to the Mishnah Berurah, two Mishnah Berurahs ago, okay, where he says, provided it doesn't ruin the taste of the yayin.
Right.
So I'm just curious, is he just repeating himself?
Sounds like there's a distinction strictly by other Sechar.
Yeah, okay. What do you mean?
Maybe because that's, I don't know if it's true. Would Sheikhar also be something that's like considered a higher form of a drink or like chashuv in terms of like simcha or whatever? Because it also could get you drunk. Therefore, you might have to have you have conflicting levels of taste or importance or whatever. I don't know.
Okay, so which one is which? In other words, he's saying, if I have rov yayin and a mir of sheikhar, right? So he says that if the sheikhar, in the first time, he says, if the sheikhar is pogang, the taste of the yayin, then you make a shakal, right? And in the second Mishnah Berurah, he says, if the sheikhar is nisbatel, the tam of the yayin, then again, you make a shakal. So is there a difference between those two cases, those two expressions? In one case, he says the sheikhar is pogam and mafsid the tam of the yayin, and in the other case, he says it's nisbatel the tam of the yayin.
Maybe nisbatel is objective.
Okay, nisbatel is objective. So what would it mean? Objectively, what? What would the sheikhar do that would be
objective in taste? Maybe objective change in the.
I mean, just practically. I'm really just looking practically.
Yeah.
Then okay.
Yeah, one of them is they're changing the quality, and one the quantity. So the pogium one, the quality of the wine is no longer going to be there.
Okay.
So even if it's the, it doesn't matter how much you have, the quality, the chashivness that we have.
Like,
gone.
Like bottle, like at the,
The taste.
Bottle, like you think bottle of the shishim.
No, that's
would be quantity.
Yeah, so if it's
quality.
But here he's saying the sheikhar is the mit, right? So if the sheikhar is the mit, you don't make a shakal, because it's the mit, unless it ruins the wine. Right? If it ruins the wine, then it's no longer wine,
so
that's it.
So with batel, it would have to be the majority? Or
batel's majority. Batel when he says batel in the second case?
Yeah.
So that's the question. Batel's also mit. Both cases. Well, no, he's saying in both cases.
Oh, it's still mi'at. Oh, okay.
The sheikh is a mi'at.
The second case.
Yeah. Because he says, if it's rov yayin, you make a bar pregafan, unless the sheikh is nisbatel the tam.
What's the difference between that?
What's the difference between this pot on Togim? That's all I'm asking. I mean, it's not, I don't want to get stuck because it's not a major point. If I say Nisbato, what does Nisbato mean?
I'm not understanding the second case. What are you saying?
In other words, he's really explaining one case. If the Yayin is Rov and the Shechar is a Miat, then you make a Bar Per Gufa.
Oh, yeah.
Except if the taste of the wine is gone. Now, he describes the taste of the wine being gone in two ways. One way where it's ruined, it's Pogame the taste. And in the other case, it's not Pogame, it's Nisbato the taste. It wipes it out.
I guess I'll say the same thing.
So it sounds like the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not a major point, but the difference is, in one case, it's destroying the taste of the yayin. In the other case, Nisbato, the tam of the yayin, doesn't mean necessarily it's destroying the taste. It just means you've produced something else. It's a different taste. It may be a very good taste. If you're making a punch, it's Nisbato, and you can't taste the yayin, right. It's Nisbato, the tam of the yayin. In the first case, it's not Nisbato the tam, it ruins it. It's not a good drink.
So why
it's
would
destroying
you make a
the taste.
What's
that?
So why would you make a bracha at all?
So you just make a shenakel. It's drinkable. It is drinkable.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's drinkable. But the wine does not taste good. It doesn't have a good taste.
Then you can. Then now it's the same as the honey and the spice wine. The very spice
that's right,
wine.
That's right.
But halachically,
now I'm saying it's a problem now.
Why?
That when you have overly spiced wine to the point that it's no longer wine,
right?
That's so going to be the same as the shechar. That's
that'd be
the
same
wine
case.
And the shechar. So then you have the same problem. So what do you say then? Then he's restating the other one.
Oh, then you mean he's
that's restating the other one. I mean, we said the problem is that the pekima and the this bottle of yayin are the same case. What do you do? Also, we said, oh, really? It's a change of the quality.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Here,
right. No, because over here you might say, even though the yayin is rove, he's teaching you, even though it's rove, it doesn't matter. If the tam is gone, then it's no longer yayin, even though it's rove. And I was, right? In other words, over there the tam was a meal, and you had mostly spices. So if the mostly spices, and they overpower the taste of the yayin, so the burper guff is gone. Mm. Right? But I might think maybe if yayin is rove, you see, then if the tam is overpowered by something else, it wouldn't matter because the rove of it is yayin. Right? He says, kamashmal and not. Even though rove is yayin, it doesn't matter. If the tam is gone, that's it.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. But, okay, it's not a major point, okay? Okay, but let's go to the next is very interesting halacha, okay? He says like this. The Mishnah Berurah says like this. That in Yud, he says imrov shechar. Okay, this is an interesting thing. If the shechar is rov, then he says like this: lo dami lahad the kaimel and lekaman. You can't compare this case where you have rov shechar and a miyad of yayin. You can't compare that to later on. Why? The siman reish dalat sifhei behaga the dai sheyesh biyayin maat. Yoser me echad b'shisha neged hamayim. Because over there, the halacha is that as long as you have no less, even if you have 6 to 1, water to wine, right? The wine is a mid, is 1/6. But the halacha is, as long as it's at least 1/6, the water won't be mevatalit. Okay, so therefore you'll make a bar per gufa on the yayin, even though quantitatively it's 1/6 of the water.
What was the tom factor?
What's that?
What about the tom?
The tom, you have tom. You have the tom, right? But yet the water is 6 times the yayin.
So you couldn't have tom like 1/7 or 1/8?
Why 1/7 or 1/8? It may not be tom. I'm not sure. You mean why is the number 1/6?
No, because before we said that it seemed like the most important thing is just that there was tom of the yayin was the determining factor.
Right. Okay.
So if it's 1/7 yayin and there's still tom, that would be.
Okay, but here he's not comparing tom. He's comparing here. Here he's not necessarily. He's not necessarily discussing tom. He's talking in terms of the quantity. If one substance overpowers the other substance, even if he could taste the wine, that wouldn't matter. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay? So over here, when you put in shechar, if you put in one iota, more shechar than wine, the shechar is mevatel the yayin, because you say that the rove is the beer, so therefore the yayin's gone. Even if you could taste the yayin, it doesn't matter. Okay, as long as you have rove shechar, the yayin's gone. Okay, but with water, you say, no, I could have six times the water, and yet it's still considered yayin. Okay, so he says, so why don't you say batel barove there? Okay, all right, so he says like this. He says, the hasam derech mezigas yayin hubamayim. That's the way that you make the wine, with water. The al king lo shayach lomar she is batel hayayin neged hamayim. It doesn't make, I mean, it's not even a kasha really. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. In other words, you can't possibly say that the water should be mevatel the yayin, because the water is part of the yayin. That's how you make yayin, right? You take yayin chai and you add water. So the water is not an extraneous thing. It's actually a component. It's an ingredient in the production of wine. Okay? So that's why it doesn't matter that you have six times the water. That's precisely what you're supposed to have. Right? But when I'm adding shechar, the shechar does not merge with the wine to create wine. The shechar is a totally extraneous thing. So if I have rove shechar, that's it. It's going to be mevatel yayin. Okay? And that's what he says. He says, the nasa kokumin echad masha enokem b'shechar de ein derech limzog bam ukeshnei minim be'alma dami de chol min shehu harov hu ayekar. Okay, so he says when you add the water there, that's actually a component of the yayin, so of course you're going to make a bar perigof. But if I add shechar to yayin, that's not a component of the yayin, that's a competing substance. So if I add too much shechar, the yayin is lost. Okay? So that's straight, right? You can't possibly say that the shechar will merge with the yayin. Two different things. Okay? But then he says like this. Then he says, the ayin bebir hagra shedaita ledina degam beinyanenu shave lemezigas yayin b'mayin. Says according to the Gra, Shechar has the same din as mine. If I add, he argues with the Ramah. He says not only if I add rove Shechar, if I put 6-1 Shechar, it's still bar pagafen. Right. So how's that possible? That's not, you're not making wine with the beer.
I was on mute before, so I wasn't laughing. It's always funny when that happens.
I feel like, what? Anybody here?
So you said there's the halachas that if you add five parts beer to one part wine,
yeah,
it's still going to be okay?
According to the Gra.
Oh, according to the Gra, you said.
Yes.
Oh,
okay. And it's according to the Ramah, he says, these are two distinct objects. So the beer doesn't go with wine. I mean, it's two different things. So whichever is the rove. Right? But if I add water, yes, I'm diluting the yayin chai, the concentrate. So you take a concentrate and you add whatever it is, 5 or 6 parts water, and now when you finish with that, you get wine. So the water functions to merge together with the pure, with the concentrate to make wine. Now I add beer. I did not know that. The beer should be mevatel the yayin. It's 5-1, 6-1. I would say that's the majority. I mean, how is that? How do you construe that as not being a majority? How is that a minority? Let's put it that way. You have 5 parts beer to 1 part concentrate. How is the 5 parts beer a minority?
So I was thinking that by for the Mishnah Brura, it's like pretty straight. Like what we said is that the halacha is that when you have an ingredient, it's like part of the mixture. There's no rove against it or anything like that. So it's fine. When you add beer, it's not an ingredient of the wine. So that's it. Once you hit rove, it's done. Right? But by the gra, maybe he's saying that it's true water is an ingredient of wine, and that's how we make wine. But the fact is, when you have wine, how much wine do you have in there? You have a sixth of this mixture is wine. So maybe he's saying that carries over to any mixture with wine, meaning that sets the wine mixture that we have, this item that we call wine, is always made of one sixth wine.
Okay.
So that carries over like to the rest of any way you deal with wine, as this is the point where wine is going to be considered in a mixture. It's going to be considered. It's still going to be like kashuv in this mixture. It's still going to be significant.
Okay.
Because that is right. The mixture of wine. The mixture of wine is it only exists as a sixth in a mixture. That's how it's supposed to exist in a mixture.
Okay.
So whenever you have a mixture of wine with something else, doesn't matter what it is, the standard for wine is one sixth in a mixture. That's how much it stays significant in a mixture. Using it like that.
What is that?
How do you put it in, like, I don't know, people use it in, like, cooking it. Let's say you put it in, like, a chicken soup or something like that.
Yeah.
An example.
Even if you put it in, like, dirt or whatever.
No, yeah, you want to, you say it's, like, something you're selling this food. Like, you could say, like, formaldehyde or whatever. But, like, you put
no, if you put dirt in, you'd be poking the wine.
Oh, that's true.
Just the wine.
Fine.
Right?
Tasty dirt.
So, but it means that, in other words, if you put in something, another extraneous substance, like chicken soup. Let's say you add chicken soup,
right
to six-part chicken, or five-part chicken soup to one-part concentrate.
Right,
yain chai.
You're adding yain chai. Like cooking with wine. It's
right,
like
you're putting yain chai in there.
It's
so
intense.
But it's not wine anymore.
It's yain chai. It's pretty intense.
Okay, I'm
sorry. The wine that we have is already one sixth wine, five parts.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not. Yeah,
I'm just saying that in mind. But yeah, I would say same. Yeah,
yeah. You know, if you're not, you're wine. That's dude still sounds very it's still wine.
Sounds like the growers say that.
Right, that would be the gross position. That even if you had chicken soup, there's nothing to do with it because it's this thing does not lose its chashivas because by this ratio. In other words, in these proportions, it won't lose its chashivas.
Right, yeah.
Right?
I'm trying to say that he agrees with the Mishnah Brura that yes, water is an ingredient, but water being an ingredient that's not the only thing that's going to be allowed to mix it that many parts wine to water, like wine to other substance. It's like showing a barometer for where
how strong the
Now,
it doesn't mean that if I add chicken soup or beer to the wine that I'm making, you know, yain mazuk. He's not saying it's that now you have a full glass of wine. You see, but he is saying that that concentrate has the force of six times of what it is. In other words, when you add the water, why are you adding the water? Because this is a concentrate, and it has the strength of six times its volume. You see? So therefore, it carries through over the water six times because it has that strength. It's a very potent drink. So he's saying that will hold good with beer also. In other words, it won't necessarily mean that when I add the beer, you see, now I have a full glass of wine. I don't have a full glass of wine. I still have a sixth beer and a sixth wine and 5/6 beer. But the point is, the 5/6 beer is not enough to knock out that wine. You know what I mean? Because he's saying that the chashivas is still there. That's right. And that is, he's saying the reason why normally you need rove knocks out a miyat, the majority knocks out the minority, because the majority is chashiv. It's significant. You see,
right.
He says that's true in every case, except for one case, yain chai. Because this drink is so concentrate that it carries with it the force of six times its size. So
that
therefore, if you wanted to create, If you wanted to make a rove, you'd have to have 7 parts beer. If you had 7 parts beer, then you could say you had more beer than the wine. This wine carries with it the volume of 6 times of itself because of its concentration. You know what I mean? So he's saying that the bittel of wine goes by strength, not necessarily size. Whereas the size of it, you're right, is 1/6. So if you measure the bittel by size, you're right. But if you measure bittel by strength, you see, then it's not going to work. Then, really, you have to measure the yayin 6 times its volume. Right. And now to be mevatel, you have to be mevatel 6 times of it. And that's seems to be what you're saying. That's right.
And you're saying Rashi's still doing it by size, just happens to be the water. There's no bittel related to it when it's in this amount.
That's part of the wine, right? It's not mevatel because that's part of the wine. But if you're going to take an extraneous substance, then it goes by size. I don't care what type of material it is. How big is it? It's 1/6. That's it. I don't care if it's concentrate, but the volume is whatever it is, an ounce. Mm-hmm. You don't look at this as 6 ounces.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Do you measure by the volume or by the equivalent volume of that strength? The equivalent volume is 6 times. Yeah. Okay. So that's it. Okay. So, let's start the next halacha. Next halacha is pretty interesting.
Okay.
So you have, next halacha is a boser. Okay, so boser is the case of unripe grapes. Okay? Unripe grapes. Okay? So he says like this. Kol zman shelo higia lekapol halavan. As long, until the grapes, before they reach the size of a polalavan is white bean, and we don't know what it is. I mean, we don't know the size. We don't really know what it is. We know it's a white bean, whatever that is. Okay? But if the unripe grape reaches the size of the polalavan, so then the halacha is you make a bar periyadam on it until it reaches that size. If it's a small grape that hasn't reached the size of polalavan, then you don't make a bar periyadam on it. You make a dhamma. Okay? Now he says like this. Umishihu kapala lavan ve'elech mevarchala barperyates. So that is the size at which you say that the thing is already considered a grape, a full-grown grape, okay, a pre, that you're going to make pre-hagafen on. Okay? But before that size, you say it's lacking, it hasn't been complete, and it's just a dhamma. Okay? So, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, he says Buri Pir Dhamma. So why do you make a Dhamma on it? Okay, if it's an immature, if it's an unripe grape, you make an Adama. He says the Chol Davar Shegadal Al Ha'ila, anything that grows on a tree, the Eino Iker HaPri, and it is not a pri. It is not the fruit, okay? You make a dhamma. Okay? So why is that?
Grew from the ground.
What's that?
It grew from the ground.
It did grow from the ground, okay? That's a good point.
It doesn't make sense, though.
But what about the fruit? Fruit grow from the ground too.
Well, it's not fruit yet.
What's that?
It's not a fruit yet.
Okay, it's not a fruit yet.
But you
right?
Say pre in both of them. You say very pre. I don't know. Say very pre. I don't know. Very
okay,
pre.
So it's not a fruit yet. So okay, true.
I think you'd say shahakol.
What's that?
I would think you'd say shahakol.
I think you make shahakol.
It's like we were talking about this last time. Like, let's say if you had a potato or an onion, right?
You eat it raw.
I
have
one
tonight.
Shako.
That's true.
Right. Is it
really shako? Shako? Onion, yeah. I mean, if that's not, you know, if you eat it raw, yeah.
I eat onions raw all the time.
What? You like bite into an onion?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's fine.
And Gil does it too. He has it in his salad.
If you like throw it in the grill, the tinfoil?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about you take an onion,
really?
You chop it, and then you take a piece and you eat it.
Oh,
it's a salad. Okay, but what is
salad? It's dressing.
No, but in Israel, they really do it. They give you, when they have, like, when you have, like, hummus, they give you a half an onion. You just stick a half an onion in
the plate. Get out of here.
I'm totally serious.
Wow.
Yeah, you have, like, they're like scoops. You just scoop this hummus and you eat it like that.
Wow.
It's really good.
Did you ever eat an onion raw?
I mean, I've eaten, like, pieces,
yeah.
You know, like...
No, you don't, like, eat, like, an apple.
Right.
You take a piece. You take a piece off, yeah.
You take a piece off, and you absolutely drown it out in the hummus, so there's
right,
no onion
right,
left.
Right,
and
right.
Take a piece off and eat it straight.
That must be some good bread afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, kind of
gross.
Intense. Yeah, gross.
Never had, like, a straight garlic clove before, either?
No.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Really?
Well, actually, I sometimes have, like, you crush them and put them on bread, like you
have
the,
really,
you know,
good.
You make it into, like, the what do you call it? Spread, the spread, yeah.
That's really good.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Okay, listen.
A little olive oil. Put a little olive oil in there.
What's that? Olive oil. Right, right. The olive oil. That's true. Yeah. But onion. I guess you can't really do that spread with the onion, right? Can you do that? Can you put
that's
that
right.
in there? Thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways,
so why would you make a perfect adama on these things? Well,
okay,
right.
Fine. So you say because it grew from the ground. That is good. Fine. So, and what about the fruit? That grew from the ground too?
Right, yeah.
So you tell me no, because the fruit grew from the tree. Right? Okay, so why don't you say this grew from the tree?
Right. I guess I would have to revise. I would say that you make an eighth on the product of the tree.
Okay.
And it's true that this grew from the tree, but it's not the product of the tree. The product
okay.
of the tree is an apple.
Right.
This thing ain't an apple yet.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I guess technically it's edible, but it's not the product. It's not the product of the tree.
Right.
The product of the tree is an apple or a grape, whatever. It's a grape.
Grape. The grape. But before it becomes a grape, before it becomes a pre...
Right.
Right, it's really part of the tree.
Right.
It's not
the grape yet. But
not
it
the
is
grape
part
yet.
Of the tree. Right.
It is part of the tree. You're eating really an edible part of the tree. But it's not really a... If it's not a pre... I mean, a pre means it's differentiated from the tree.
Mm.
You have the tree, and then you have the pre. Right? So the pre is a product, a separate entity. Then you could say this entity was produced by the tree. But if it's not a pre, then it's really just a part of the tree.
It's like eating
parts of palm.
That's yeah. right, hearts of palm. That's right.
But that's also a machlokas, I think, in the Gemara.
Yes, the Spartan, in the Syrian community, says eights on it.
They say eights.
But
yeah.
I heard that's because, though, that they make them for...
At least I think.
They make it as if it's a fruit. Like, you grow a tree...
For that.
For that,
for
right,
the,
yeah.
that, as if that's the fruit.
That's what they say,
that's
yeah.
Right.
That's what they say, right?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Right.
But that is what we're talking
that's
about.
That's
exactly
right.
That
yeah.
is, yes. Because you're eating it before it really emerges as a separate shame of a pre, a separate entity, right? So if it's not the fruit of the tree, so then it's really a part of the tree. It's an extension of the tree. So then that's a double.
So you wouldn't say shahapa on it. You're just extra eating. Like, let's say technically, let's say bark was edible. You would
yeah.
say a dhamma on bark.
I guess so. Because it grew from the ground.
Right, I guess you're right.
Pri Adama.
It grew up from the ground. That's true.
Grew from the ground.
I guess I don't really think of these things other than them being the product. Like,
how about, like, you know, you do, like,
the tomato.
Grape
right,
leaves.
Right.
You like grape leaves.
Oh, grape leaves.
Yeah, grape leaves. What do you make on that?
I don't know.
You usually make a mazona, like, you have rice with it.
Oh, you're talking about the
I'm saying that's usually I'm
yeah,
saying
grape
but nobody eats like
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. Oh, there's a Syrian delicacy. Syrian food.
Yeah, grape leaves.
Grape leaves for.
Yeah.
What do you have inside?
There's meat and rice.
Yeah, that's what they have.
Yeah, I think.
Is it called
yabragi?
What's it?
Yebre.
What's a yabragi? What is that?
I don't know.
I think my daughter makes that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she likes to make it with grape leaves. It's an exotic thing. She likes to use, you know, exotic.
Yeah, like it's like rolled up.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're saying. I should look it up. Yeah, grape leaves. That would be one of them, I guess.
Why? The ichor is rice.
Yeah, but if you just ate the grape leaves straight.
Yeah,
it's
right,
grape leaves straight. So it's really part of the vine. I mean, that should be a dhamma. That's not really, unless you're growing the grape for that thing, I can't imagine that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So I mean, it would seem charcoal maybe, you know, so, but like, let's say on an onion, right? You can make a charcoal, right? So it would seem, I mean, just you know, on the surface, it would seem that if you have something that is a pri, but you're not eating it derech achilaso, then you make a charcoal, right? Mm-hmm. You're not eating it the way it's meant to be eaten. I'm just saying factually. I'm not saying in terms of svara. But,
yeah, but what about the grape?
But now the grape, right? It's not a grape. You're not eating it differently, right? It's not a grape. It's simply not a grape. This is an onion. The only thing is you're not relating to it in the way that people eat it. But this is not a grape. Before it's this size, it's not defined as the pri. Right?
Yeah, I mean.
So that's why he's saying it's Adama. But if it was a grape, but normally grapes are eaten cooked and you eat it raw, then he wouldn't say, then it would seem he wouldn't say make Adama. He would say make a charcoal. Because that's not the normal derech achila. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the, right? So that's what it depends on. If it's a pre, then it's a separate entity. And then I could say it's the product of the tree. But if it's not a pre, you can't call it the product of the tree. So then it's part of the tree. Okay. Okay. So then he says like this. He says, okay. I shouldn't be adding barefoot. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says, so if it's that size, before it hits that size of whatever that size is, the white bean, then it is simply not considered a pre. Okay. It hasn't grown enough to be considered a fruit. Then you make a dama, okay? But he says kapol halav, umishahu kapol halavim. But once it hit the size of the white bean, then the halacha is mavarech barik per eitz. Then you make a barik per eitz because that size, right, defines it as being the fruit. So now you make a barik per eitz, okay? Okay. So he says. Then he says, the Shulchan Aruch says, since we don't know the size, right, he says, you should always make a dama until it is gadol b'yoser, until it is clearly full grown, let's say. Okay? Okay, but short of that, if it's not full grown, practically you make a dama because we don't know what that size is. Okay? But basically he's saying, that size, once it hits that size, it is considered a pri. Okay? Okay, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. He says like this. He says, on gadol b'yoser, right? So the way we do it is, if we have to, we wait till it is an absolutely full-grown grape, and then you know that definitely it's considered a ripened fruit. And therefore you make the barbeid, okay? He says like this, gadol b'yoser, v'im lefim maris ayin, kvar nigmar bishulo, but let's say you look at the grape, and you can see clearly that the thing is fully ripened. It's not getting any riper. I mean, it looks like it's starting to, you know, whatever. What happens after it gets ripe? It starts to get soft, whatever. You can see the thing is fully ripened. But it's just a very small, it came out very small. Okay? So then the lach is, ein nafkamina klal begadlo. You don't look at the size at all. In other words, if you have a grape that's very small, and it's smaller than the size of a white bean, but it's clearly, what do you call it? Clearly ripened. You don't care about the size. Okay, then you just go, it's right. Okay. He says like this, Ubachol ofen, mevarech la barper eitz. V'chein, similarly, imachar tzanim shelahem, ner mebuchutz. If you could see the pits. Okay, I guess like these type of grapes they had, maybe the skin was like transparent. You could see the pits. I don't know, can we see in our grapes? You can't really see the pits, right? You bite into the thing and you,
yeah,
you hit the pits, you go, oh.
Yeah, terrible.
Right?
It's the worst.
Right, but I guess they're grapes. Maybe they had, like, you know, whatever. The skin was not dark. Okay, so you could see the pits. Okay, so he says, again, if you could see the pits. So now, so far, what do we have? I mean, a lot of criterion here. I mean, how many ways could you define something as being a pri? I mean, give me one definition. You're telling me a pri is something that's either a certain size. But if it's ripe, we don't care about the size. So the size, apparently, is if it's not ripe. right? And as if you're going to tell me that you go by the size, and as soon as it hits that size, you make a bar peri guffin, okay? That bar peri eights, right? If it hits that size, it's a pre, and you make a bar peri eights. So then you're saying even if it's not ripe, right? So that's one criterion, the size, even though it's not ripe. The second criterion is if it's ripe. So, I mean, that sounds a little funny. I mean, well, then what's the size? Right? Now he gives a third criterion. The third criterion is if you can see the pits, right? Third criterion. So, I mean, you're telling me seeing the pits means even if it's not ripe, even if it's not the size, I can see the pits. There's a three criterion for what makes it into free. Okay? But then he says like this. Then he says, if you could see the pits, it is certainly almost ripe. It's almost ripe, okay? A new idea. Now it's almost ripe. Okay? Okay, so I mean, I'm just saying, in short, this seems like a very confusing setup here. You have three criteria, and one of the criteria is that it should be almost right. Okay, almost right. Very nice. But almost right means it's not right.
It ain't right.
Right. It's almost, what do they say? Almost, you know, they have these expressions. It's almost something, but that's not the thing.
Close but no cigar?
What? Something like that. Yeah. Right?
That's weird.
You almost went over the finish line, something like that. Whatever, right? I mean, it's not right. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's like almost first to the second.
Ah, that's right.
Something like that.
We'll get it by next week. We'll have it. Yeah. I mean, you know, on the spot. What could you do? Right. So I mean, if you want to leave it for next week, I mean. It's up to you. So we'll have something to give share on next week.
Sure.
No, but whatever. Think about it.
I'm up for thinking about it, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.